Okay, just a quick reminder, the teachings from the healing classes are available on the website, but there are no CDs available. They're not available on a CD, but you can go on the website to listen to them. And remember, one thing to keep in mind, it's always God's will to heal, but it's God's perfect will that we don't get sick, but we walk in divine health all the time. God will heal. He's there to heal, but his main thing is he wants us walking in divine health. Amen? Now, for those of you who have consistently come out to healing class, I commend you because you are choosing to get the Word of God into yourselves personally, and then it's not only going to benefit you, but it's going to benefit those that you come in contact with when you go out and lay hands on the sick. Okay, you will see the benefits, guarantee. Amen? Now, how many of you here were here the last time I spoke and I gave you a homework assignment? Yeah? Remember the homework assignment? What was it? God loves me. God loves me, okay? Don't stop doing that. Keep that in your daily words, in your daily morning prayer, whatever, throughout the day. Keep saying that. God loves me. Because it's got to become personal. You've got to get that revelation for yourself. Amen? Now, Pastor Greg started to talk about roadblocks to healing back on the 10th of October, and he covered one of them, and that's the path that I'm going to go tonight, is down looking at some of the roadblocks. And the first one that he covered was that a roadblock that some people think is that God sends sickness upon people. And we know that that's not true. Remember the rat trap and the Hakuna Matata, right? Okay. How can he send something that he doesn't have? Amen? And that's the bottom line. If he doesn't have it, he can't send it. So we saw that God only permits evil, but he doesn't create it. Now, if you study that out in the Hebrew, in the King James, you'll get a better understanding of what is being said. The key to understanding these scriptures lies in knowing that the active verbs in the Hebrew have been translated into what is known as the causative tense when they should have been translated into a permissive tense. Okay, so both of the pastors and I have covered the topic of where does sickness come from, all right? The scriptures are very clear. We've covered them. We know that even though people will say it's from God, the scriptures point to the fact that it's the devil as the source and cause of sickness and disease. Amen? And I'll just quickly give you those scriptures again if you didn't have them. It's Acts 10:38. We saw that when we looked at John 10:10. It confirms again that sickness and disease doesn't come from God or from Jesus. Luke 13:10 to 17, that's the woman that Jesus healed who was bent over for years. Hebrews 2:14 and 1 John 3:8. It's always been God's will to heal, but also he's always the one that does the healing and isn't the cause of sickness and disease. The devil's the one that is the cause of it. Then another roadblock that we all spoke about was that my healing, some people think is that my healing may not be God's will. We talked about that, and even Pastor Ed did, Pastor Greg did, and I'm going to expound upon that tonight a little bit, and then we're going to cover an additional one. But Brother Hagin himself said that the number one enemy to healing is people not knowing that it's God's will to heal them. Okay? Number one thing. Now, if you yourself don't have this revelation that it's always God's will to heal you, you're going to miss out on what God has for you. So Satan's going to come along with doubt, unbelief, discouragement, and he's going to try to convince you that it's not God's will to heal. Okay? Now, this is something that you have to settle for yourself. All right? You can't just think that based on the diagnosis, it makes the difference as to whether God's going to heal. But it's what happens is that when you are in a situation and you have an issue that takes a long time, and you've been standing, you prayed, and you still don't see the manifestation, you wait 2 years, 3 years, 5 years, okay? This is when your faith is going to be tested and your knowledge of the word is going to pay off, amen? Because the enemy starts to bring thoughts of all kinds that can get you into doubt, and unbelief if you listen to it. He's going to say things like, what are you wasting your time believing for healing for? Look how long it's taken. Okay? And he'll say, God's not going to heal you. Look at what you did way back. Okay? He may even say, don't you feel foolish believing God and telling people that God's going to heal when your symptoms have only gotten worse? And he goes on and on and on with that nonsense. Okay, you've got to tell him to shut up. Amen. You've got to tell him to shut up. Amen? Well, there's a truth in that, and we'll see how good you students have been. Do you remember when I said God is not going to heal you? Right? Yeah. Remember that?
Yes.
Why? He already has. Okay, so God's not going to heal you. He already has. It's done. It's past tense. Okay, so Christians need to stay out of the future. Healing is not future tense. It's past tense. And remember that Jesus provided healing for us at Calvary, so it's finished. All right? Christians need to spend time speaking to their mountains and not about them. All right? You have to tell Satan to shut up. You have to tell him where to go. And I love Apostle Key's approach, you know, because I'm pretty much like that, you know. You've got to be that way. Here's a little something to think about. Confession builds a road over which faith carries its mighty cargo. Confession builds a road over which faith carries its mighty cargo. Confession brings the cargo from heaven to you. It's already done in the spirit realm. Confession brings that cargo into the natural. Okay? Now, have you ever heard someone pray or say something like, if it be thy will? Yeah. I grew up Catholic, and that was kind of, you know, if it be your will, that was a common prayer, okay? But something that Brother Hagin said is that many times the reason a person's prayers don't work is because they use the wrong method of prayer. And if you're saying, if it be your will, okay, that's a prayer of consecration. And Jesus used that only once in the scripture, when he was at the Garden of Gethsemane, okay? So we don't use that phrase, quote, if it be thy will, when the Bible already tells us God's will is to heal, okay? So I might pray a prayer of consecration. Let's say there's a mission trip coming or something, and I may say, God, if it's your will to go to Africa, okay, you know, I'll go. But that's a prayer of consecration. That's not based on, you know, chapter and verse, all right? But when it comes to healing, it's already resolved. We have it. We know it's his will. So I'm not going to pray that. So if I'm praying in a prayer and going, if, okay, it's not going to get answered, all right? Because Jesus already paid the price. Now, in the story of the leper who came to Jesus to be healed, he believed that Jesus could heal him, but he didn't know if he would, right? You saw that? Okay. He wasn't sure of God's will to heal. So let's turn to Mark chapter 1, and we're going to look at this. I'm going to read it to you from the Passion Translation, and you can follow along in whichever translation you have. But Mark chapter 1, verses 40 to 45, and then we're going to look at the same thing in Luke. Yell when you're there. Everybody got there? Mark chapter 1, verses 40 to 45. All right, and I'm going to read, as I said, from the Passion. You there? Okay. On one occasion, a leper came and threw himself down in front of Jesus, pleading for his healing, saying, you have the power to heal me right now, if only you really want to. Being deeply moved with tender compassion, Jesus reached out and touched the skin of the leper and told him, of course I want you to be healed, so now be cleansed. Instantly, his leprous sores completely disappeared, and his skin became smooth. Jesus sent him away with a very stern warning, saying, don't say anything to anyone about what just happened, but go find a priest and show him that you've been healed. Then bring the offering that Moses commanded for you, cleansing for your cleansing as a living testimony to everyone. But no sooner did the man leave than he began to proclaim his healing publicly and spread the story everywhere of his healing. I would have, that would have been me, I'd have been telling everybody. Okay? Jesus's growing fame prevented him from entering the villages openly, which forced him to remain in isolated places. Even so, a steady stream of people flocked to him from everywhere. Okay, now we're going to look at the same thing, but we're going to look at it in Luke. Luke 5, 12 to 16 in the Passion. Okay? One day, while Jesus was ministering in a certain city, he came upon a man covered with leprous sores. When the man recognized Jesus, he fell on his face at Jesus' feet and begged to be healed, saying, "If you are only willing, you could completely heal me." Now, notice that in both Mark and Luke, we see that he came, he begged, and he pleaded Jesus. He came and he's begging Jesus to heal him, and he's pleading with him. We don't have to do that today. Jesus wants you healed more than you want to be healed. Ouch. It's true. It's already done. He wants you healed more than you want to be healed. Amen. Okay? So we don't have to plead. We don't have to beg. But notice that it says, when the man recognized Jesus. So he obviously heard about Jesus. He obviously knew that Jesus could heal because his only question was, will you? Will you? But he knew he could. Okay? So, verse 13, Jesus reached out and touched him and said, "Of course I am willing to heal you, and now you will be healed." Instantly, the leprous sores were healed and his skin became smooth. And Jesus said, "Tell no one what has happened, but go to the priest and show him you've been healed. And to show that you are purified, make an offering for your cleansing, just as Moses commanded. You will become a living testimony to them." Okay, folks, our lives are a living testimony to the world. Your healing is a living testimony to the world. Okay, when they see that you're walking in divine health, people want what you have. When they see that you have peace, when they see that you don't get flustered with seeing everything on the news and it just doesn't, I'm just going to pray. They want what you have. We are a living testimony to the world. Okay. Now, some of you know, some of you may not know, but I was diagnosed with cancer back when I was 45 years old. And I had to, deal with that. And at the time, I was really upset with it, of course. And being in the medical profession, I knew the trail of events, chemo, radiation, all this that could happen. Was it someplace else or whatever? So anyway, I went for the surgery. I had the surgery done in Pennsylvania, and when the doctor came in after the surgery, let me back up. I had prayer. I went for prayer, and I knew that I had to trust God for this because it's me and you, Lord. Okay? It's me and you. So I trusted, I believed, and I said, I don't know how you're going to work it out, but I'm going to trust you that you're going to take care of it. So when the doctor came in after the surgery and they had gotten the pathology report, there was no sign of cancer. No sign. Now, medicine can come up with all kinds of whatever excuses you want to, but I knew that Jesus had healed me. There was no sign of the cancer. So I'm going to tell everybody in any place all over that Jesus heals. And see, you can't convince me otherwise, okay, because I've not only experienced it. It's not my opinion anymore. It's an experience. A person with an experience will never be convinced by someone with an opinion. Okay? So we are a living testimony. Just like Jesus told the leper, you will become a living testimony to them. And after this miracle, the news about Jesus spread even farther, and massive crowds continually gathered to hear him speak and to be healed from their illnesses. But Jesus often slipped away from them and went into the wilderness to pray. Okay, so we're still on this about the will of God. It is his will to heal. Brother Hagin speaks about three areas that a believer must have before they can experience their healing. Three things. Number one, they must know it. You must know it, you must know it, you must know it. Got to know that you know that you know. Second thing, you must believe it. You must believe that you are healed and healing belongs to you. And then the third thing is that you must accept it. You must accept it. Now, do you think the leper fulfilled all three of these areas?
No.
Correct, right. No. Why? Right. He wasn't convinced. But boy, didn't take long, did it? Instantly, he had his healing, and Jesus showed him, I am willing. I am willing. Okay? It was that, how fast? Okay? So Jesus knows your heart. He knew the leper's heart. Okay? And you know, I don't have to go into it, but you know that in that time, people weren't allowed to, the lepers had to be yelling when they went down, you know, unclean, unclean, because nobody was to come near them. They were social outcasts. Okay? They were socially, distant. They probably didn't even have any contact with their family. There was no one that they were supposed to be around because of this disease. So for Jesus to touch him was truly an act of compassion. Yes. Truly. Okay? And there was in the scripture also in here where it says, he made him whole. Okay? So when you think about that, when Jesus heals, just as he did with the woman with the issue of blood, the wholeness is not just the physical. She also was an outcast. It's a social restoration. Now you have your family back. Now you're not spending money on getting healed. Okay? It's financial. It's every aspect. So wholeness is not just, when it comes to healing, it's not just having the disease removed. Our God doesn't do a halfway job. Okay? So, as was said, he came to Jesus, the leper came to Jesus doubting, all right? But he knew that he could. Now, my question to you is, do you know if Jesus heals and will he heal you? Because see, it's not just having knowledge. We come to church, we get the knowledge, we're taught, okay? But that's not the only thing. You need to believe that it's his will to heal you. Not Pastor Sarah, not Pastor Greg, okay? It's his will to heal you. He loves you and he wants to heal you. Now, let me look at the word accept. Accept means to receive willingly. It means, in part of the definition, okay, you receive willingly. It means to admit to a group or place, you're accepted as a member, let's say, to regard as proper or true, accept as a theory. We're going to accept this theory about science. It also means, listen to this, to answer affirmatively. As to accept an invitation. I'm going to respond. I got invited someplace. I'm going to respond and answer affirmatively. Or to consent to pay as by a signed agreement. Now, do you receive willingly that it's God's will to heal you? Okay. Another part of accepting is that it includes speaking out, which means to answer affirmatively. It includes speaking out what you accept, believe, or know. So you're answering affirmatively, okay? This is what I believe. This is what I know. I know the Word of God says this. By the stripes of Jesus, I'm healed. And I am going to confess that. I'm speaking it out. So acceptance is not only receiving willingly, but you have to speak it. And we know how critical confession is. We just gave you that before about confession, the importance of it, okay? So confession is important. And that word, accept, part of the definition, answer affirmatively. Now, let's look at Matthew chapter 8. Go to verses 16, 17, and I'm going to read them in the New King James first. Matthew chapter 8, verses 16 and 17. Familiar scriptures. New King James. Everybody there? Okay. When evening had come, they brought to him many who were demon-possessed, and he cast out the spirits with a word and healed all. Remember, Pastor Greg had emphasized so many times about all who were sick, that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, himself took our infirmities and bore our sicknesses. Now, I'm going to focus on the word took for a minute. Himself took our infirmities and bore our sickness and diseases, okay? The simple definition of the word took means to take. Notice that the first thing Jesus did was he took our infirmities, sicknesses, and diseases from us. He took them, okay? But some of us don't want to give them up. Especially if you've been taught or told along the way that this is for you to suffer. You're going to question, well, you know, Jesus took it. No, I'm going to keep it. Now, question. Can I take something from you that you don't want to give up? No way. And neither can God. He respects your free will. Now, notice it says, he took our infirmities, sickness and diseases from us. He didn't say, I'm going to take them for about a year and then send them back. I'm going to keep them over here for a month. See if you learn a lesson and then I'm going to give it back to you. No, he didn't do that. He said, I took them. Now listen, now watch. This is cool. I love the word. Second thing he did, okay, he bore, or it says he bare our sicknesses, or bore, and this means he bare or he carries it through the idea of removal. So the word bear there means, additional definition, means to carry, take up, to lift. So Jesus takes our diseases and then he carries or removes them away. Okay? He takes them and then he carries them and removes them. Don't go trying to dig them up. Okay? Now in the Passion Translation, it says it this way. He put upon himself our weaknesses and he carried away our diseases and made us well. Man, I love that scripture. Okay? He put upon himself our weaknesses and he carried away our diseases and made us well. And in the New American Standard says, this was to fulfill what was spoken through Isaiah the prophet. He himself took our infirmities and carried away our diseases. Now, another level of revelation with the scripture is simply this, is that you need to make it personal. Simply say, he put upon himself my weaknesses and he carried away my diseases and made me well. Okay? So say this after me. Say, he put upon himself my weaknesses and he carried away my diseases and made me well. Amen? Okay, so what was the definition of accept? Willingly receive, receive willingly. Okay, now I'm going to do a little demonstration here to just kind of, I think sometimes, at least for me, I learn a lot of times or get it in my mind better when I see something. Okay, so let's just say you go to the doctor and you're going for a checkup and you get to the doctor's office and he says, you know what, I'm picking up that you have some high blood pressure. Okay, so for the sake of demonstration and those that are listening by CD, I'm putting on a coat, and this coat is going to represent sickness. Okay? So he says, all right, I want you to go home. I want you to lose 20 pounds. I want you to watch your diet. I want you to, you know, the scenario. And I want you to come back in a month. All right, so you go home and you try your best. And you do all what you think you should do, and you're trying, and you're going to exercise. You're going to try to lose weight. And you go back to the doctor a month later. And the blood pressure didn't go down. And he says, you know what? Now I have to put you on medicine because you could have a stroke. So now we're going to go for another coat. So I'm layering the coats here. So now you've got a second diagnosis, and now you have to take medicine. He's all right. He says, couple weeks. He said, I want to do some blood work, and then I want you to come back in 2 months. Let's see how the medicine's working. Okay, so you go home, you're taking the medicine, you're doing anything. Robert, I might need you to help me get this over my shoulders. But anyway, so here we go with the third coat. I got it. I think I got it. Just hope I don't knock off the, okay. Okay. Yeah, okay. So now, I feel a little bit like a penguin. But now I have a third coat. I go to the doctor, and he says, okay, your lab work came back, and now you have kidney disease. Ouch. So we got high blood pressure, have to go on medication, and now we have kidney disease, okay? So we are burdened down, right? So we're walking around with this, and maybe we really don't know the word and we don't know what Jesus did for us, and so we just accept it. Okay? So we need to do some, let's say all of a sudden one of your friends comes along and says, you know what? I can tell you that this is not from God and you don't need to accept this. Okay? So what happens is that you get the revelation that he took your infirmities, your weaknesses, and bore your sicknesses and diseases. Okay? And you go, uh-uh, I'm not accepting this. Keep it. It's not mine. That's from the devil. I refuse to accept it. What does accept say? Accept says you willingly receive. I'm not receiving that. And don't we always know that when we get evil reports, many times we say, I don't receive it? Okay? So then you get more revelation. God, you know, this is already done. It's a gift. I'm not accepting the high blood pressure. He took it. So if he took it, why am I carrying it? Okay? And then you get really bold and you say, nope, that's it, gone. Okay? And you decide to take your stand, and you decide to give the devil a headache, and you come at him again and again and again and just keep repeating and tell him, no, this is not mine. I refuse to accept it. Okay? But notice what Jesus did. Not only did he take them, okay? So those listening on the CD, I'm picking up the pile of coats, and I'm walking across, and I am going to, because Jesus said he carried them away. They're not there anymore. They're not there, and they're not for you. Okay? But I can't take them away from you if you want to keep them, and neither can Jesus. He took them, he carried them away. Got it? Okay? They're not yours. They're on him. And in the spirit realm, he did it at Calvary. It's been done. It's finished. Amen? So that's what I want you to kind of see and keep in your mind. Don't accept, because the word accept means receive willingly. Don't accept what the dumb devil wants you to think you need to carry. The Holy Spirit is simply saying, stop carrying the burden of sickness and disease that Jesus already took. Stop carrying the burden of sickness and disease that Jesus already took. All right, go to Matthew 11, 28. Apostle Kizid used it the other night, but I'm going to talk about it from the standpoint of the healing. Very familiar scripture, Matthew 11, 28. And I'm going to read it from the Passion. Yell when you got there. Everybody have it?
Yes.
Matthew 11, 28. I'm going to read verses 28 to 30. I'm going to start reading it. Well, let me read it in the King James first, because we all kind of know it that way, and then I'll read it in the Passion. So Matthew 11, 28. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Okay? So if you're walking around with sickness and disease, you're heavy laden. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Okay? And yoke there simply means submission to God's authority. So, listen to the same scriptures in the Passion. Are you weary, carrying a heavy burden? Then come to me, I will refresh your life, for I am your oasis. Simply join your life with mine. Learn my ways, and you'll discover that I'm gentle, humble, easy to please. You will find refreshment and rest in me. For all that I require of you will be pleasant and easy to bear. So Jesus wants to take anything and everything that is a burden to you, including sickness. Amen? Psalm 55, turn over there, Psalm 55, 22. Psalm 55, verse 22. It was funny because Apostle Keys was given that scripture too the other night. But it says, cast your burden on the Lord, and he shall sustain you. He shall never permit the righteous to be moved. But if I'm going to carry those coats, okay, it's not going to happen. Got it? I have to get rid of them. I have to leave them. Let Jesus take them because he's already carried them away. Now, I love donkeys. Just a little side story here. And when we did the missions trip to the Native Indian reservations in Arizona and California in my first year at Rhema, you see signs all over the place that say donkey crossing, burro crossing. Now here, we see signs that say deer crossing, right? Because the deer could jump out any place anyway, okay? But out there, it's donkey crossing. So I have this picture of me at a sign. But I kept saying, where's the donkeys? And I love donkeys. I think they're adorable. Anyway, I was like, I want to see a donkey. I want to see a donkey because they just weren't around. So we were at the third church where we were ministering. And I said to the pastor's wife, I said, you know, I see all these signs, burro crossing, donkey crossing, okay? And I said, but I've not seen any donkeys. And she said, boy, are you in luck. She said, we just got a four-month-old miniature donkey. Okay, and I was like, seriously? And she was yes. And I said, could I go see it? Now, they lived one side of the street, and the church was on the other side of the street. So from the church, you could see their residence, okay? And they had other animals and stuff. And so I have favor. So the daughter took me down to see the donkey. And he was adorable. So I have video of him and everything, pictures. And just sweet as ever. Sweet, sweet, sweet. And they hadn't even named him yet, and they were starting to train him to get him, you know, desensitized and to get him to be okay with humans. Now, did you know that the donkeys have a cross on their back? Look it up. In fact, I might have it on my phone. I can show it to you later. Across their back, get a picture of it, there is a cross. Okay? Now, what are they known as? Beast of burden. A beast of burden. That's what they are called, a beast of burden, because they will, you know, at the Grand Canyon, if you want to go down to the bottom, you know, you go on a donkey and everything, the supplies and everything are on the donkey and they carry that. People, you know, the desert world back in Jesus' time, you know, it was the donkey was who he rode in on Palm Sunday, okay? Beast of burden. Okay. They also have another name for them. What? Mule, jackass, asses, because you see ass in the scripture sometimes, an ass, okay? So when it comes to carrying burdens, folks, don't be a donkey. Or I could say don't be, but don't be a donkey. God doesn't want that for you, okay? Now, another quick question, little side trivia. Why did Jesus ride in to Jerusalem on Palm Sunday on a donkey and not a horse? No? Okay. Any other? Well, that might have been, but the main thing was, if you came in on a horse, you demonstrated that you were ready for war. And if you came in on a donkey, it was an animal of peace. And he came in representing peace, and they wanted him to go to war and, you know, take over and get rid of the Roman Empire, okay? But he didn't come in on a horse because his whole life was about peace. He came in on a donkey, all right? So just a little excerpt there. Don't be a donkey. Stop being the donkey. All right, now, let's look at one other area about the will of God to heal that bears repeating. And we talked about it, but I think we're going to cover these scriptures. Can we all agree that Jesus came to do the will of the Father? Yes. Amen? Okay. So if we look at the actions of Jesus, we can see then that the Father's will was to heal, correct? Yes. Okay. So did Jesus ever cause sickness?
No.
Did he ever refuse to heal any who came to him?
No.
Did he ever put sickness on anyone?
No.
Okay. So let's just see what the word says. We know we always support what we say with the word. So turn to John 8, 28, 29. John 8. 28, 29. I'm going to read it both in the King James and then in the Passion. Okay. Then, you there? Okay, John 8, starting in verse 28. Then Jesus said to them, when you lift up the Son of Man, then you will know that I am he and that I do nothing of myself. But as my Father taught me, I speak these things. And he who sent me is with me. The Father has not left me alone, for I always do those things that please him. The Passion says it. You know who you, I'm sorry, you will know me as I am after you have lifted me up from the earth as the Son of Man. Then you will realize that I do nothing on my own initiative, but I only speak the truth that the Father has revealed to me. I am his messenger, and he is always with me, for I only do that which delights his heart. Turn to John 5. And I'm going to read verses 19 to 21 in the Passion. John chapter 5. You there? Okay, so Jesus said, I speak to you timeless truth. The Son is not able to do anything from himself or through my own initiative. I only do the works that I see the Father doing, for the Son does the same works as his Father. And we folks are going to be, we're going to be the ones that are doing the same the works that Jesus did. Amen? Amen? Verse 20, because the Father loves his Son so much, he always reveals to me everything that he is about to do. And you will all be amazed when he shows me even greater works than what you've seen so far. For just like the Father has power to raise the dead, the Son will raise the dead and give life to whomever he wants. So didn't he raise Lazarus from the dead?
Yes.
Jairus' daughter?
Yes.
The widow woman's only son? Okay? And guess what? That's what you and I are going to do too.
Amen.
That's what we are here to do. We're doing the same thing. Okay? John 6, turn over to John 6, 38. We're just confirming that Jesus came to do the will of the Father and that the Father had given Jesus these instructions to what to do and what to say. Verse 638 in the King James. For I came down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of him that sent me. Okay? John 14. Go over to John 14, verses 9 to 11. And I'm going to read that in the Passion. John 14, verses 9 to 11 in the Passion. Jesus replied, Philip, I've been with you all this time, and you still don't know who I am? How could you ask me to show you the Father? For anyone who has looked at me has seen the Father. Don't you believe that the Father is living in me and that I'm living in the Father? Even my words are not my own, but come from my Father. For he lives in me and performs his miracles of power through me. Folks, let me just stop there before I go to verse 11. That's us. That's the body of Christ. We're in Christ. He's in us. And we are to do his will, to lay hands on the sick and they will recover. We're to do what he did. Verse 11, believe that I live as one with my Father and that my Father lives as one with me, or at least believe because of the mighty miracles I've done. So again, these scriptures simply confirm that Jesus came to heal because he came to do the will of the Father and they are one. Okay, another roadblock is something called indifference. Now we're following, if you want to follow along, we're following along Brother Hagin's book on healing, but this is not one that's in there, in that sequencing, but it's something I think is critical, and I also feel, and we may go back to that, and that is about the love, because if a person does not understand how much God loves them, they will struggle with getting healed. Amen? And we covered that on the last message. But the word I'm going to talk about is indifference. What does it mean to be indifferent? Okay? The word indifference, the definition, is a lack of interest, lack of concern or sympathy, and to you, something is unimportant, insignificant, or irrelevant. I'll say it again. This is the definition for indifference. A lack of interest, lack of concern or sympathy, unimportant, insignificant, irrelevant. Now, for years, we began every service with reading John 3:16, correct? John 3:16-17. Now, some of you may remember, and I'm not sure if, I know Pastor Sarah started it, but I don't know if Pastor Clinton was still here at the time, or it was after he passed that we started saying that. She was led by the Holy Spirit to say it before every service, correct? The beginning of every message, correct? Okay. was it after? Okay. So every service we would read John 3, 16 and 17, whatever, read it from different translations and so forth and so on. Okay. So as an example, we hear that John 3, 16, we glean a lot of information from it. We read it from different translations. We get, the side of the diamond or the side of the mountain that adds a little bit more perspective to it. We get to see it, all right? But there can come a time when you go, I have heard that. I can repeat it. Don't they know anything else? Do they have to say that every service? Okay? That's an example of indifference, okay? And you even say, I know it backwards and forwards. And so all of a sudden, something goes off. It's an attitude. And now you have become indifferent to the word. Okay? Now, another example. Somebody's teaching, maybe on healing, maybe on faith or something, and they say, turn to Mark 11, 23. Mark 11, 22, 23, 24, 25. And some people go, oh, I know that's not saying it out loud. Okay? But inside, they're going, God, I know that scripture over and inside out. Do they have to? Don't they know anything else? Right? That's indifference. And let me tell you what it does. It steals your faith. It robs your faith. Okay? Indifference will rob your faith. So, somebody said to Brother Hagin once, Don't you know anything? Aren't you going to teach on anything else but Mark 11, 22, 23? And he said, when you get that, then I'll teach on something else. You heard that, okay? Now, let me try to put this in the context of things because it may help. When Pastor Greg was talking about getting revelation, that is so vital and so critical because Brother Hagin had the revelation of Mark 11, 22, 23, 24, 25, 26. It got him off the bed of death. He was going to die. And he got those scriptures and that's what ministered to him. And he read them over and over and over and the light bulbs went off. Okay? And when he saw the scriptures that said himself took our infirmities, he says, himself took my infirmities and carried away my sickness and disease. So it became, for him, the revelation came. And when he shares that and had shared that, he wants us to get the same revelation for us. Follow? I don't know if you were here when Leanne Sosby came to minister a couple years ago. Okay, well, Leanne got the revelation on John 14, 17 that we know him. We know him, okay? Now, she teaches that in a lot of prayer classes at Rhema. She teaches it over because that's the revelation God gave her, okay? And it became so alive in her. It became so real. But that's what the word can do for you, and that's what it's supposed to do. But if you take the attitude, I've heard that before, okay? You miss out. It is important for us to put things into our remembrance. Just because we heard something before doesn't mean we know it. We need to keep our eyes in the present, okay? Romans 10, 17 says, so faith comes from hearing and hearing and hearing and hearing by the word of God. It doesn't say faith came having heard. It's hearing, hearing, hearing. The Amplified says, so faith comes by hearing what is told, and what is heard comes by the preaching of the message that came from the lips of Christ the Messiah himself. Now listen carefully. Until faith moves your mouth, there's indifference going on in your life. Until faith moves your mouth, there is indifference going on in your life. Okay? So the word of God is a prescription from heaven's pharmacy. And the medicine from this pharmacy doesn't have any side effects. It goes exactly to the root of the problem, and you can never overdose on it. No side effects, no overdosing. In fact, the more you take of it, the better. The better it is for you, the more you take it, okay? So indifference also means there is a lack of attention given to the word, and it robs your faith. Because you can be indifferent in your morning prayer time. Oh, I got to go through these scriptures, and let me just read this, and this is okay. Same thing. So be careful, and don't say, I've heard that before. Remember, you can believe something, but until you put action to what you believe, all you have is knowledge. Okay? We should be saying, I will always want to hear the word repeated, no matter how much I've heard. Okay? Let's quickly turn over to Romans 4:17. I'm going to do a quick meditation example that we did, and I believe will help you, because we know from Joshua 1:8 that we're supposed to meditate on the word day and night, correct? Okay, so turn over to Romans 4:17. And I'm only going to use, and this is what we did, we do in class, and they encouraged and they wanted us to learn this and use it in everyday life. But Romans 4, verse 17, we know that's Paul's talking about Abraham, we know is the father of faith. And in verse 17, I'm only going to use the second half, but let's read verse 17. It says, and as it is written, I have made thee a father of many nations, before him whom he believed, even God, who quickeneth the dead and calleth those things that be not as though they were. Okay? So, this is one of my little confession cards and my meditation cards. And the way it would be, now, if you were in training to become a healing technician, you needed to know the word, and they would have you meditate on the word for hours. Okay, you'd take one scripture. You could take one scripture. You don't have to read a whole chapter or 10 chapters. You can take one scripture. So this is one, Romans 4:17, and this is, I'm taking part B of that scripture. God, who quickeneth the dead and calleth those things which be not as though they were. In the New Living Translation, it says, Abraham believed in the God who brings the dead back to life and who brings into existence what didn't exist before. Okay, so if I'm in my prayer time, now we're going to do it just for a couple minutes, but you can do this for an hour with one scripture, because you will get continued revelation. As you stick with something, you're going to get continued additional revelation. God. Wow, God, creator of the universe. My God. Abba, Daddy. God, you created everything. You put the stars and the moon and the sun out there. God, you are love. My God, you are love. That's who you are. My God, you are alive. You're real. My God, you are awesome. You're an awesome God. You're holy. You're my God. Okay, so you take that one word and you expound upon what that word means. And you keep going, God, you're incredible. You're the healer. You're the provider. You do everything. God, you're awesome. You're wonderful. I love you, Lord. I love you. God, you loved me so much, you sent a redemption plan and put it in place through Jesus. You sent Jesus for me. You love me. You love me. You're my God, and you love me so much that you sent Jesus. You love me so much that you healed me. You love me so much. You gave me life. You love me, Lord. God, creator, there's no other God like you. No one can compare to you. God, you're awesome. My holy, wonderful God. You're Jehovah Jireh. You're the God that provides. You're Jehovah Rapha, Jehovah Nisi, Jehovah Sikenu. You are everything and anything. You are everywhere. You are omnipresent. You are God all-powerful, omnipotent. You are God omniscient. You know everything. You're God omnificent. You're the God that can put a new organ in a body. You're God. One word. Okay? Who quickeneth the dead. God. Who quickeneth? Oh, you make alive. You put life into everything. You put life into a bad relationship. You put life into a bad marriage. You put life into somebody who's been in the hospital diagnosed as brain dead. You put life into that brain. You're the God that does that. You're the God that takes someone that's been told that their heart is not functioning at full capacity and you make it function at full capacity. You put the life in organs. You put the life in somebody's kidney that was diagnosed as having to be dead. You put the life, if somebody's born with one kidney, you can put a second one in that body. Okay, you put life into the lungs of somebody. Somebody who's been diagnosed with a lung problem. You put life there. You take out that which is not of you and you put in your life. You quicken. You make alive. You put in a pancreas that has been said that is not going to produce insulin. You say no. You make that pancreas produce insulin. You do those things. You quicken. You make alive. You make alive governments. You make alive churches. You make alive. You are life. Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. You put life into Lazarus. You quicken and put life into Jairus' daughter. You quicken, put life into the widow woman's son. You are God who quickeneth the dead. You take something that was dead and you give it life. That's who you are. That's who you are. Okay, my God, the creator of the universe, that's who you are. You're my God, you're Abba Daddy, you're my God. And you did that, you do that, and you're going to do it for me. I believe you can do that for me, Lord God. You can do anything, anything. You are God who creates. Somebody has a leg that's been amputated, you can make a new one grow out. That's who my God is. That's who my God is. He's an awesome God. He can do anything. He is not the God of impossibilities. He's the God of possibilities. He quickens. He makes alive. And calleth those things which be not as though they were. You spoke into existence, Lord God. You spoke this world into existence. You spoke the heavens, sun, moon. You said, light be, and it was there. You spoke out. You spoke to Abram when he was unable to have children, and you changed his name to Abraham. You spoke and made him the father of many nations. You spoke to Sarah's body that was dead, and you caused Sarah and Abram to have a child. They were unable to. Their bodies, their organs were dead, but you're the God that calleth those things that be, not as though they were. You call those things out. You cause that to happen, Lord God. You're the one that did that. You're my God. You're the one that does those things. You take the impossible, make it possible. That's my God. You quicken, you make alive those things, and you speak them out, you call them out. So I am your child, and I'm going to speak out, and I'm going to call those things that be not as though they were. Whether it's finances, whether it's health, whether it's relationships, whatever it is, you speak out the word, you find the word, you get the rhema word from God for you, for your situation. You speak it out, and you end up with the blessings. Because God, who quickeneth the dead and calleth those things which be not as though they were, is my God. He's my God. He loves me, and he's able to do that. He wants to do that, okay? But if I don't confess it, if I'm not out there speaking it into existence, I am his child. So my DNA operates the same as his. He spoke those things into existence, and he tells us to do the same thing. And we know from the scriptures that, you know, Luke 10:19, the devil's defeated. We have the power and authority over him. He's defeated. Remember? Naked? Naked, walking around naked with his legs shackled and his arms shackled in chains, but naked. And he's the one trying to deceive us? Jerk. But remember, you've got to say this. This is, we did what? I don't know, maybe 4 minutes, 5 minutes, okay, of that. I don't know how long it took, but that's what you do with one scripture. And you repeat it over and over and over. But if you get an attitude of indifference, it's not going to work, okay? So you take the scripture and you continue. And you find a scripture that works for you. God, if there's a situation in your life, go to God and ask him, say, what do you want me to stand on? Because it may not be by the stripes of Jesus you were healed. It may not be, you know, what is the, you know, a particular scripture, maybe something else. You go to God, get that scripture and get it in front of your face and get it out of your mouth as much as possible. Amen? Amen? All right. I'm going to read one last thing. The clock is ticking away. And yesterday I was doing my morning devotion. I was reading something, and it all kind of clicked in with the tenses. And also when Apostle Keys spoke last night, I went, whoa, praise the Lord. Okay. Wasn't the last couple days just awesome? The messages were just off the charts. Okay. This may help you to understand a little bit about the tenses and about the Hebrew. Throughout the scriptures, it says, thus says the Lord. Okay? And we take that to mean that the Lord is saying something, but you, when you read, thus says the Lord, the Hebrew word is amar. Amar is the word for says. Amar doesn't mean, thus says the Lord. It means, thus has said the Lord. Thus has said the Lord. There's a big difference. Amar is the past tense or the perfect tense. It means the Lord has already said. It means it is already done and it's already finished. What did Mr. Marlene just say? Pocketbook throwing time. Okay. It's already done and it's already finished when it says God, thus says the Lord. Now, so when Apostle Keys spoke about the things of this church by the Spirit of God last night, everything he said is already done. Whoa, think about that. As far as God is concerned, it's already done. Got that? We're involved in it. We're part of it. But from God's perspective, it's already done. Okay? So this is the other part of the devotional. It says, it is not the future or the present tense. It is the perfect tense. And it's already perfectly established. So the word of God is perfect, it is finished, and it is done. So when God says something, you can put your complete trust and faith in his word. For when you take the word of God and the promises of God, there is no question, there is no if, and there is no maybe. Amar means it is settled, sealed, finished, and accomplished. So stand on the word, hold the word, and believe in it. The word is as good as done. Thus says the Lord has spoken. Amen. Think about that, meditate on that, because that is awesome. What he spoke last night, what he spoke any of the times he operated in the gifts and spoke from God, done, finished, okay? Perfect tense.